Can I be honest? I know it's being recorded, but it's not going out. It's hard to do two services as pastors and worship people, you know. I don't know about the worship. I'm just going to speak for me and possibly Ralph. But I'll say this. What is beautiful about it is we get to see more of you. And that is worth it all. So, sorry. These little, now I'm going to, our little antler, or I'll call them bug antenna. Every time I look up here, it's, oh, look at the little bug antennas. Sort of Disney creation. I love the music this morning. I love the songs they chose. Because it falls kind of in line with what I'm sharing this morning. But I also love the fact that Hannah and Maddie are kind of starting to step into those leadership. And it's so nice to see when, of course, for me, well, for all of us, we've known them since they were babes, to see them kind of start stepping into those positions, that place, and following in the footsteps there. Okay, so how many of you are saved this morning? Woohoo! How many of you can say with me, Jesus has saved me? Praise Jesus, I'm saved. Because that's the truth, right? That's who, that is what has happened. And in fact, a couple of weeks back, I shared this, it's all about Jesus. And really, it's all about Jesus. My message this morning is called Believe and Receive, Part 1, and we're going to look at the whole idea of being saved. You say, well, I know that, but we're just going to get into it a little more. From Acts 4:12, it says, salvation is found in no one else. And it's talking about Jesus. For there is no name under heaven given to mankind by which we must be saved. Don't you love the name of Jesus? Don't you love Jesus? I don't just love his name. I just love him. And the more I've been working on my messages the last little while, it's just, you know, my heart has just been really stirring with how much I love Jesus. Just, I'm so moved by what he has done. He has saved us. He saved you. He saved me. And he made us co-heirs with him to all the promises of God. And when we think about that for just a minute, when we meditate on that, isn't that marvelous? Isn't that marvelous that he that he made us co-heirs with him to all of the promises, all that he deserves? He said, hey, come and be a part of it. We get the same thing. We who declare Jesus as Lord and that God has raised him from the dead, we who believe in our hearts and let pour out of our mouth, shall be saved. Someone's just leaving. We shall be saved. That word saved is the Greek word sozo. Put that where. Sozo. And I'm going to ask like I did this morning, does anybody know why that word saved or sozo, the word sozo, the Greek word sozo, means so much to me? And Ralph is the only one who puts up his hand. Oh, do you know too? Okay. Alan, I want to hear what yours is. No, why that word sozo is so important to me. It does, but that's not the only reason why. But thank you, because we're going to get there. Ralph knows why. Go ahead, Ralph. Why? It's my cat. So I have a personal, beyond that, I have a cat. So I'm going to tell you the story about my little cat. I was house sitting for a family here in the church, and they had a cat who had kittens, and they didn't want kittens. So they disposed of the kittens. And then they left, and I came in and was house sitting for them, and they had boxes on their front porch for the cats, the sweaters in them. And the cat, there's the cat, and I look out one day, and there's a kitten in this box. It's just like, that cat shouldn't have kittens. The kittens were gone. And I look at this tiny little kitten, and she must have had it somewhere else when they took the rest of the kitties. And anyhow, so here's this little kitten. But it was the only one, and mommy would get up and go go mousing and tear around for the day, whatever she was doing. And so this little kitten had no litter mates to help keep it warm. And it got really cold. It was the end of October. It started getting very cold. And I looked out one morning because it had been frosty and frozen overnight. And I'm looking and I look up this window and I thought, oh, the little thing isn't moving. Aw. So I thought, went out and I'll just check it to see if it's okay. And I picked it up and it was cold. It was really, and it kind of turned it over and it kind of flopped and went, eh. And I thought, well, I think there's a little life in there. And I brought it into the house and I heated up a little beanie thingy, you know, that you can heat up in the microwave, wrapped a towel around the beanie and put the kitty on it and gave it some, dropped some water. I mean, it's like, dropped some water in the mouth. And then I had to come here to the church. So me and my stuff and my kitty came into the church and I come running into the church and I say to Ralph and Janet, who was the secretary at the time, he says, come and pray for this cat. Come pray for this kitten. And literally the kitten was from tail to nose was no bigger than my hand, like that. And so Ralph and Janet and myself, we laid fingers on it because laying hands was just, you know, too big. And prayed for that, and that little kitty started coming around. And started being resurrected. And I said, I sat the little pillow of warmth and this little kitty on it and the towel and the sun on my, at that time my desk was a kitchen table. And the sun was coming in the windows back there. And well, within about 20 minutes, that little kitten was getting up and walking around on that desk. And she lived for 18 years. Yeah, 18 years. So I called her Sozo. Sozo. And that word, here it is, from Strong's, means to save, keep safe and sound, to rescue from danger or destruction. One from injury or peril, to save a suffering one from perishing. One suffering from disease, to make well, heal, restore to health. To preserve one who is in danger of destruction, to save, to rescue. And of course, the B part there is to save in the technical biblical sense, a negativity, to save, to be delivered from the penalties of the messianic judgment, and to save from evil which obstructs the reception of messianic deliverance. She was saved. And we just said, Jesus saved us. We are saved. Sometimes we just think, okay, that all it means is when I die, I'm going to heaven. But we have been saved, delivered. Delivered from disease and suffering, made well, restored to health, preserved from danger and destruction. And we sometimes sit here and go, I see that word saved. I know I'm saved. How many know in your knower? And when I point here, I say, know in your heart. You know in your knower. It's beyond something I can explain here. I know in my knower. I know in my heart. We understand that the work of Jesus is finished. And he has sat down at the right hand of the Father. And we have all things in Christ. But how come I don't see these things now? We're going to take a look at that today. We're going to take a look at salvation in Jesus today. We're actually going to do it in three parts. So today is part one. And there's two more parts coming. So there isn't going to be a completeness in it today. But we got to start somewhere, right? So when we're saved, we know that we're saved. But how many of you know that we're also being saved and that we will be saved? It's all three at the same time. And there's some people who have this thought in their head of all the good stuff is going to happen when we die and go to heaven. And I was sharing this morning, there's a song, I forget what it's called, just a little bit of silver, a little bit of gold. I'm going to have a little cabin on the other side. And, you know, that's all I need, Lord, just a little cabin on the other side when I get to heaven, you know. And I mean, it's quaint and it's cute and it's country. Maybe not, I don't know. But it's not truth. It's not truth. That's not our God. He's said, I'm going to prepare a place for you. I'm going to prepare a mansion for you where there's many rooms. He's not preparing a little cabin, a mansion. In John 10:10, he says, I've come that they might have life and have life to the what? Have life only when you die and go to heaven. No, to the fullness, right here, right now. I've come to give you life now. And it says in John 4:17, this is the tail end of the verse, in this world we are like Jesus. Is Jesus a pauper, poor, sickly? No. So in this world, this is what we have. This is not something that's for when we die and go to heaven. For no matter how many, this is 2 Corinthians 1:20, so no matter how many promises God has made, they are yes in Christ. And so through him, through Jesus, the amen is spoken by us to the glory of God. All the promises are ours, amen? Amen. So we say, well, what are we waiting for here? Why are we waiting for the other side if this is it? If I'm saved and all the promises are mine, how come they're not showing up in my life, or at least not showing up often? Right? Well, we're going to take a look at this. And we've looked at this before. We are a spirit. You are a spirit. The very core of who you are is spirit. Spirit and life. And Jesus, even when Jesus was dying on the cross, he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he says, gave up the ghost, or he gave up life. When the spirit is absent from the body, there is no life. Who you are is who you are in your spirit. Who you are is who you are in your spirit, okay? So then we're going to move on here. Now, I know that's hard to see. It was great on my computer, and it's great on this screen, but not so much there. You have a soul. You have a soul. And your soul is your mind, your will, your emotions, your personality. Some say your ego, your psyche. It's all good. That's who you are in God. Or no, pardon me. That's who you are in your soul. Your mind, your will, and your emotions. Okay? So you have a soul. And you live in a body. Now, unfortunately, the way we have a tendency to live is mostly in our soul and in our body. And in fact, mostly whatever our body dictates, our soul perceives, and that's where we spend a great deal of time focusing and operating in the world. Now, today, we're talking about being saved, and this is from Ephesians 2:8. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. By grace, you have been saved through faith. Here's being saved. You continue to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. So there's a continuing to work out your salvation. That happens in your soul. And we will be saved, for the perishable must be clothe itself with the imperishable, and the mortal with the immortal. How many of us, well, I'm looking around and I'm going, we're all pretty much in the same age group category here. I'm not going to offend anybody. Fine, and get up in the morning, you're a little more creakier, a little harder. You don't just bounce out of bed. Well, maybe some of you do. I don't know. Not me. You know, some of us, you know, I used to be able to sleep through the night. Now I have to get up in the middle of the night to pee. You know, things like that. Life is just changing, you know. Some of us have grayer hair or no hair. We used to have hair where we used to have hair. That body, that's our body. And that will be, it's perishing. It's fading. But that will be put off for the immortal body, the glorified body like Jesus has. Now, like I said, we're going to focus today on the fact that, on our spirit and being saved. And I say that to say, so the other part, the soul and the body, are things we're going to look at in the next couple of messages that I share. But we've got to start somewhere, so we're going to focus here, all right? Because what happens in our spirit will flow out to our soul and to our bodies. And like I said, but we'll get into that in the next couple of weeks. Otherwise, I'll spend all my time talking about that. And I want to focus here. So, you are a spirit. That is who you are. And as a spirit? Jesus said this. He's talking to Nicodemus. He says, truly I tell you that no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born again. And there's a footnote that goes with that that says this. Just to make sure I'm at the right page here. I'm not. There we go. That word again can also read from above. So if we were to reread that, Jesus says, truly I tell you, no one can see the kingdom of God unless they are born from above. How many of you are glad you're born from above today? You're born from above. And here's from Ephesians, maybe. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not from yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So our spirit is saved by the work of God's grace. It's a gift. You didn't earn it. You just receive it. And like I said, when we got born again, when you gave your heart, when you got saved, you some have really great emotional experiences and others don't. But that emotional experience, that experience you had, does not dictate what happened. Like if you had a great emotional experience, doesn't mean you're more saved than the person who just received Jesus and maybe felt no change. You are a spirit, and you have been saved by faith. Faith is, I haven't seen how it all happens. You were saved by faith. And it was something God has done and is doing. Okay, let's take a look here. Oops. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come and the old has gone. And again, that new creation has come could also be read, that person is a new creation. So let's take a look. You are a spirit. And you get born again. Your spirit is renewed, regenerated. It is saved. It is made whole, healed. All the things that we read in that chapter, your spirit has been saved. You have been changed. You have been made new. And we're going to keep looking at the scriptures here. Jesus said this, who was seated on the throne, so this is our glorified, resurrected Lord, said this, I am making everything new. Then he said, write it down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He's making everything new, and your spirit has already been new. Your spirit has been saved. It's a past tense. It's done. You are there. The moment you believed on Jesus Christ, you were made new. You were born again, born from above. In your spirit, there's that present tense. You're in present tense, the right now moment, the right now you are. And something else happened when you were born again. Now, watch the screen, see if you can see it. The Holy Spirit came to indwell you. I'm sorry it doesn't work as well on the big screen as it does on our computer screens. You receive the Holy Spirit. And Ephesians 1:13 says this, and you also were included in Christ when you heard the message of truth, the gospel of your salvation. When you believed, you were marked in him with a seal, the promised Holy Spirit. You were marked. You were sealed with him. I heard, I think it was Andrew Womack put it this way, is it's like when somebody does canning and they put that paraffin wax in to seal it, protect whatever's in there. That's what we have with the Holy Spirit. We're protected. He is uncorruptible, impenetrable, not perishable. And we have been sealed with him. Our spirit has been made whole and holy. And we're going to look at this. But the one who joins himself to the Lord is mingled into one spirit with him. 1 Corinthians 13:16, and this is the Passion Translation. Now that word joined can also say to be united. How many of you knit or crochet? One. We know what that means. Anybody here weld? Same thing. It means to be welded together. Anybody mix stuff together and stir it? Yeah, that's everybody else, right? If you add cream to your coffee or tea or whatever, make juice. Mingle together. They come together. They're joined together. The two become one. The two become one. I love this idea. If you can imagine the ocean and taking a cup of water and pouring it into the ocean, you know what I mean? It becomes one. It's all mixed together. And that's what's happened when the Holy Spirit came. We have been mingled, mixed, joined with the Lord. Now, is the Lord perfect? Is he holy? Is he blameless? Is he pure? So then why would he let a scuzzy, scrummy little spirit come and touch him, be mingled into him? He wouldn't, because that's not who you are. So what has happened is that you have been made perfect, pure, holy, righteous, whole, healed. You become faithful and mature in your spirit. That's probably not. That's who you are in your spirit. That's who you are. That's not who you're going to be. That's not when you die and go to heaven. That is who you are right now because of the grace of God, the work of the Holy Spirit in you, the work of Jesus, because of the blood of Jesus, all together, all in one. You are a living spirit, holy, perfect, and pure. And it's important for us to remember that that's who we are, that we are a living spirit. We have a soul. And we live in a body. So let's take a look here. In James 1, verses 23 to 25, and I'm going to read this to you from the Passion Translation. If you listen to the word and don't live out the message you hear, you become like a person who looks in a mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but then you go out and forget your divine of origin. How many have ever done that? You know who you are in Christ, you look at the word, it tells you, and then you go out and you forget your divine origin. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfect law of liberty are fascinated by and respond to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessing in all they do. The Word of God tells us who we are. Whether you hear it or read it or however you receive it, the Word of God tells us who we are. Because sometimes in our spirit, we don't necessarily feel in our soul and in our body what's going on in the spirit. Now, we're going to talk a little more about that through the next couple of messages. But today, as we're looking at your spirit, I want you to recognize you are who you are in your spirit. You have been made whole, perfect, healed, restored. I'm going to read the list. Holy, righteous, faithful, faith-filled. You have the faith of Christ. You're mingled with Christ. It also says you have the mind of Christ. We have a new identity, and I know it's going to be hard to read up here, and if you need a copy of all of this, it's fine. I found this one. This was a new one for me. This is called My New Identity in Christ Alphabet. And so this is not an exhausted list, but it starts with this. I am A, accepted in the Beloved. I am blessed with all blessings. I am chosen in Him. I am elevated to heavenly places. I am delivered from the dark powers. Forgiven for all my sin. I'm innocent before him in love. I am healed by his stripes. I am God's workmanship. I am justified by faith. I'm kept by the power of God. I am loved unconditionally. I am more than a conqueror. I am not condemned. I am redeemed from the curse of the law. I am quickened together with Christ. I'm overcoming the world. I am predestined to sonship. I am to his praise. I'm sealed with the promised Holy Spirit. I'm unto his glory. I am victorious through Jesus. I am washed in his blood. I am crucified with Christ. I am yoked together with believers. I am zealous for good works. And again, that's an alphabetized one, but there is so much more that we have in Jesus. Yeah, and I can get you copies if you want that. I like that too. I need to find the right page there. So you are a spirit. Say, I am a spirit. And so, do you know in your knower that you are saved, healed, restored, made perfect, righteous, whole? You're faithful. You are mature. You're a mature believer in your spirit. All of that is ours. You are seated with Christ in heavenly places in your spirit. And in fact, your spirit is bilocational, because your spirit is also in your body. You are mingled with the Spirit of God. You are one with him. So now, can you walk in the Spirit? What is walking in the Spirit? It's walking in that understanding. It's walking in there and walking with Holy Spirit, who dwells in you. I'm going to put up that scripture again just to take a look. Just this is the last one before we wrap it up. It says in James 1, this is again the Passion Translation, and I do that just to kind of pull us out of sometimes our, you know, you kind of get blasé with the word. You've heard it so many times, you just kind of can repeat it at route. James 1, 23 to 25, the Passion Translation. If you listen to the words and don't live out the message you hear, you become like a person who looks in the mirror of the word to discover the reflection of his face in the beginning. You perceive how God sees you in the mirror of the word, but you go out and forget your divine origin. Let's just take a stop there. You've been made new, your divine origin. What has he done? Your spirit is saved. Let's walk in the spirit. But those who set their gaze deeply into the perfecting law of liberty, I love this, are fascinated by the response to the truth they hear and are strengthened by it. They experience God's blessing in all that they do. I just pray that you've been strengthened by this. And remember what I said, this is part one of three, that we're going to connect soul, body, and spirit all together and get there. But you know what? If we just start there, if we just come and remind ourselves again who we are, that we are completely saved. The devil, you know, he can come with all his lies and whatever. But no, it doesn't matter what's happening. Well, it does matter what's happening in my soul and my body, but that's not, my spirit is saved. He can't take that away from me. Amen?